Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Leslie Silva, and Martin Arinaga. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Leslie Silva. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Legendary boxing trainer Cus D'Amato once said, "The hero and the coward both feel exactly the same fear. Only the hero confronts his fear and converts it into fire." Our guest today is a man on fire. Make no mistake about it. He's not blowing smoke. His fire comes from the furnace of trials and tests. Through them, God has made him stronger and sharper, more loving and compassionate, dynamic. As is our normal proceeding, the beginning of our show, we'd like to remind you the very essence of our broadcast is to bring you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would experience His love, His grace, His mercy and compassion, His touch on your life, that you would come to know Him in a personal way. Pastor Mike Kai is the senior pastor of one of Hawaii's fastest growing churches, Hope Chapel, West Oahu. They meet at Waikele Shopping Center, where they have state-of-the-art worship facilities, combined with the relevant and captivating preaching and teaching ministry from him. Pastor Mike can be described as a regular guy with sky-high aspirations. Such sky-high faith has been met with God's sky-high blessings. Now, he is supported by a tremendous staff, and they work together for the larger body of Christ with a heart to reach someone, anyone they can to bring them to the Lord. He's married to Lisa. He has three daughters, Courtney, Rebecca, and Karis. Pastor Mike, welcome to our show.
It's an honor to be here, Danny. Leslie, thank you.
Now, tell us, Pastor Mike, where did you grow up?
I was born and raised on the Big Island in a little town of about 2,000 people called Honoka'a. Mm-hmm. It's everybody asks, where's Honoka'a? And I say it's an hour outside of Hilo North and about an hour and a half, about an hour away from Kona. So we're right outside of Kamuela, or Waimea, as people know it.
Beautiful. Now, as you grew up on the Big Island, is it more like a country style compared to the metropolis of the great city of Honolulu?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. You know, when I first came up to Honolulu, I had culture shock in my freshman year of college. I really did. I didn't understand that King Street and Beretania ran opposite and that they were one-way streets. It was very confusing. So I grew up in a town where there was not a stoplight. There was no McDonald's. And it was one way in, one way out, and pretty much that was it. And if you blinked, you missed it. And we were known for our malasadas, text drive-in off the highway. And a plantation town, but now the plantation has gone away. But it was characterized by hard-working middle to lower income class families. And the greatest place I could have ever grown up was in a little town called Honoka'a.
Well, Honoka'a has produced a fine leader in you, Mike.
That's embarrassing, but thank you.
That's true.
It's humbling.
That's true, man. Now, growing up in a small town like that,
mm-hmm.
in country mm-hmm. style living,
Yeah.
There's often opportunities to really extract some of the greater and deeper marrow out of life through relationships, because you're not so rushed.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, I have to say my mom and dad did. Really, my dad did. Mm. I'd have to say that friends had a lot to do with it as well, in positive and negative ways. But I would say the biggest influence had to have been my dad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a coach. I would like to say I was a coach, but I've learned lessons through coaches, how not to be a coach, how some coaches are just horrible coaches when it comes to the social aspect of coaching and fairness and stuff like that. But really, I learned my lessons, I'd have to say, from my house, the house I grew up in.
Tell us what kind of lessons did you learn from your dad?
I don't know. I just get a little emotional just thinking about that, because I don't think he knows. I don't think he really knows how much of an impact that he made. But I would say there was a time when I got cut from my basketball team, from the team, when I was young. I got cut all the time, bro, because I was a little guy. I'm serious. I was like barely 4'11". In the seventh grade, 85 pounds. And so I was the little guy in my class. There was me and this other kid named Emerson. We were the two runts. Of course, I'm not anymore. Mm-hmm. I say I'm 6 feet on a good day, but I'd say that, my dad was just a picture of grace, grace. And my mom and dad were committed Catholics. They weren't born again Christians. They didn't read the Bible, but they were devout in their faith to God. And so the biggest influence was we went to church every Sunday. And we weren't the perfect family. We weren't the most holy family. I mean, we fought on the way to church, the kids in the back seat. And my dad would reach over and grab one of us and, that kind of thing. And his arm would be swinging wild trying to grab somebody. And we'd all be ducking, throwing our heads back. Coming home from church, somebody would get into an argument. And because we're sitting in a little Toyota, you know what I mean? Four kids in a Toyota in the back seat. My dad's grace was displayed whenever my dad would just be there for me. Like, I got cut, and my dad, I was out the day I got cut, I came home and I was crying, but I didn't cry like a baby, but I was really upset. And I went back out and he just kept shooting baskets, and I was just tearing up. And my mom told my dad what happened, and he was going to come out and help me or talk to me, and I wouldn't let him come out. I just kind of waved him off, and he just watched, just watch from the window. But he stayed there the whole time that I was shooting, and you would say it was nice if he intervened and said something really nice to me. He didn't have to. There was another time I small town, like I'm a little bit more on the white side. Some of you guys in radio land, you think that I'm a big Hawaiian because my last name is Kai and a little bit of a rougher voice. I'm a little bit more fair skinned. My mom is half Filipino, half Italian. My dad's Hawaiian Chinese and Caucasian, and I pulled the Caucasian. So some of that came into play a little bit, and of course my size. But this one kid, one time, and I tell this story in one of my sermons, I was a junior in high school and I'd really messed up. This was my first day that I hadn't had sports practice the whole time. We had football practice directly from football to basketball, basketball to baseball. And it was the one day that we didn't have practice. And I wasn't saved now, so you got to understand that. We went out and we did some things with some libations, and I was the driver. It was my car. And we went to the cane field. That's where you do it. You go into the sugar cane field and you find a little parking space. And so we got a little inebriated, intoxicated. And we ended up going to play basketball right after because there was nothing left to do. Mm-hmm. And while we're playing, we got into the Parks and Recreation director was playing with us, but he knew that we were all kind of buzzing. Well, turned out that we were getting punchy because of our situation. We felt bolder, and we were getting rough with him, and he got rough with me, and he had a butterfly tattoo on his chest and I punched it. I kind of slapped it. Yeah. And then he picked me up and he threw me on the ground. And when he threw me on the ground, these three guys rushed me.
Oh.
They rushed him, and I had to pull them off of him.
These are your friends.
These are my friends. Okay. They came up and defended me.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was so scary because they were like a pack of wild dogs who were going to almost probably could have beat him up.
Yeah.
And I was stopping them now from what they were doing, and then they were upset and they turned on me. That's what alcohol does. And while they turned on me and they're coming after me, and Eddie's now trying to defend me. His name's Eddie, the Parks and Rec director. Moms in the stands are watching. They're coming out of the stands, hitting the boys with their purses. Now here's my good friends who I've just had a great time with. Now have turned on me. And if you live in a school like I do, come to a school like I do, the next day your life will never be the same. It's over. You're going to be picked on or ganged or whatever.
Wow.
And so Eddie got me in my car, told me, get home, Mike, get home. And these guys were telling me, and these were my friends. They were telling me, we're not going to forget this. We got you tomorrow. We're going to get you tomorrow. And I said, you know what? I can't deal with this. I drove home and I was stressed out and distraught. I came into the house and my mom looked at me. She goes, what's wrong? I said, nothing. Is dad home? She goes, yeah, he's home. And so my dad was changing his clothes because he just got home from work. And I walked into his bedroom. I closed the door and I said, Dad, I made a mistake. I told him what I did. And I said, but Dad, now this is the situation. They want to fight with me and they're gonna catch me in school tomorrow. And he goes, what do you want to do? And I looked at him and I said, I want to get it done tonight. I want to fight him tonight. And he goes, well, let's go. I said, you're going to fight with me? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, let's go. Three guys on one. That's not fair. Let's go. So we walked out of the house. My mom goes, where are you guys going? I said, never mind. You know, my dad goes, never mind. And we got in the car and we drove into town. And my dad came with me to back me up in a fight. Now, I know my dad's smart. Now I'm 43, going to be 43 this year. I know my dad's thinking probably, it's not going to happen. It's not going to fight. We're not going to fight. I know how to handle this situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put an end to this. I'm going to help my son out. And so we found him in the town. And when we found them, they were walking all over the place, pretty wild. We stopped them. My dad gets out of the car. My dad goes, hey. He calls those two boys' names because I don't know where the third one was. And two of them, they stop, and they were like smashing windows with rocks and stuff. And I got out of the car, and I came out of the car all real tantaran, you know, all tough because my dad was with me. So I come out of the car, yeah, what, let's go. And hoping that, Dad, hold me back. You know, I really don't want to fight. And my dad was like holding me back, and I was really like, you know, like this little chicken sticking out my chest trying to fight him. And I knew we weren't going to fight anyway, too. And my dad was able to speak into their life at that moment and said, what are you guys doing? You've been friends since you were in kindergarten. Then we found the other guy, the bigger guy, who could have been, you know, a little bit more dangerous. We found him. And when we found him, I went straight for him and pushed him because I felt strong. My dad was with me. But I knew that everybody was pulling us back. And, you know, I stood up for myself. The rumors would fly through school that Mike Kai was not afraid. But you know what? That's one of the biggest things that I remember was my dad coming to back me up in a fight when it was going to be an unfair fight. Now, of course, I don't condone fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know what else to do anymore. And so my dad was with me.
You know, your dad, like you said, it's such an influence on you. I mean, Mary Leslie, he didn't have to think very long. You know, I mean, it was just so, so distinct and concrete.
Yes.
Out of everyone. And I know you know, one of the things I admire is that you're open to the leadership of others, mentors. But with that question, it's like a point-blank response, you know. You're going to say something.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of our God, you know, how our God is with us.
Yeah.
And no matter what we do, sometimes it seems so low, sometimes the things we do, but God is with us, you know, standing at the window, just watching, but always there. And just the blessing of having a father in your life. You know, when I think about young men and having a father is present in your life. Is such an awesome blessing and rare today.
Well, you know, Pastor Mike Kai from Hope Chapel, West Oahu. He's a senior pastor, Hope Chapel, West Oahu. You can find out more about his ministry at www.equipandinspire.com. That's equipandinspire.com. That's one whole word, and you spell out and equipandinspire.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about, well, hopefully more than a little bit, a lot, Pastor Mike, about how you came to know the Lord, how you became a Christian, because that's a story. I don't know if, I know some people have heard it, but I know it'll be a blessing to the many who haven't heard it. Your story of how God touched you, and the way God touched him, God will touch you.
Yes.
Because he knows and loves you. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Pastor Mike Kai.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host Leslie Silva and our featured guest today, Pastor Mike Kai, Senior Pastor of Hope Chapel, West Oahu.
You know, Pastor Mike, yeah. As you were talking about your father and, you know, going home, and it was just your dad in your life, mm-hmm. and you talked about when you got cut and you were playing basketball and your mm-hmm. dad was going to come out to yeah. talk to you, and you know he instead he stood by the window, and you know, when as he's talked about it, I thought about our God,
yeah.
how he's just like that, you know, he's always present. Sometimes he's at the window,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's not actively out there, but he's always there, you know. It's never God isn't there. God is there whether he's active or he isn't.
Yeah,
we all have that, you know, that assurance that no matter what we go through, God knows and God is present. And mm-hmm. that's so beautiful. I just love that. God yeah. at the window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll write that book, Danny. God at the window.
God at the window. Yes.
That's a good
always
picture.
At the yeah. window. Yes.
And part of that, too, is even when it seems like he doesn't intervene, he's still watching.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and his wisdom, he can intervene at any time.
Yes.
Kind of like your dad, you know, it was a choice that he made not to go out for whatever reason was within his own heart.
Yeah.
But he could make a move.
Yes.
At any time. That could make a difference.
And God is all-knowing. God knows everything about us.
I don't think he wanted to embarrass me by coming out, because I probably would have not known how to respond. Mm-hmm. I think he knew that if he came out, I might have rejected him at that point, because, you know, you're embarrassed and you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminds me that, you know, the word says his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts higher than our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know why he didn't come out, but I didn't know until later that my mom had explained it to him.
Mm.
But just knowing that he was watching, you know, because if he didn't even care, you know what I mean? If I looked and he wasn't even there, that probably would have made an impact on me, that my dad didn't even try to comfort me.
Yes.
He knew that if he came out, it wouldn't have been the right time to comfort me.
Mm.
And maybe he didn't want to treat me like a little boy and comfort me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was trying to see a boy get raised up into a man and deal with adversity. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But all I know is it just crystallizes the older I get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've gone through a lot in life. Tell us, how did you become a Christian?
Well, I'd say a lot that I'd gone through was self-inflicted in the beginning. But a lot after that was just took on a nature of its own. When I was 17, I moved to Honolulu, went to the University of Hawaii, and I told you about the culture shock of being at UH.
Mm-hmm.
I never really had a girlfriend. I liked girls. I was in love with girls, but I never really had a long-term relationship, so I was very naive in that sense as well. But of course, there was still sin abound in me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the University of Hawaii, and I'm a freshman. And so I ended up meeting a girl, and who I became very attached to, and basically I fell in love with her. I mean, I grew to love her. I loved her. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
And as with a lot of people, I made my mistakes in that relationship, and I didn't know the Lord. I was far from church, that's for sure. And within a couple of years, we'd gotten more serious than we should have, to the point where it was not a healthy relationship. I was not the person that I should have been. I was not the person that I was raised to be. As a matter of fact, I probably had fallen so far from the values that my parents had raised me with that they would have been probably shocked and disappointed to know what my life was like at that time. As a result of living outside of the way that I was raised, or the way that I know how to live now, I ended up getting my girlfriend pregnant. That was in the late 80s. Well, we got married right away because I did love her and I wanted to do the right thing, and I quit school. That was the hardest part. I quit school. I felt like I had no purpose after school because I was in school to become an Air Force ROTC pilot. I mean, I was in Air Force ROTC. The goal was to become a pilot. University of Hawaii was the avenue. It was the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But when that was taken away, I had no more dreams or goals. I didn't really have them. I was in survival mode, and that was go to work, get a place to live on your own, and make it happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. So I ended up working like a Shell service station in Kaimuki with Alan, and I still see him to this day. I worked at the Pizza Hut on the corner of University and Dole Street, which is now a Japanese restaurant. I worked at the old spaghetti factory, which is still at the Ward Warehouse. And then I worked at the Willows restaurant when it was the old Willows. Then I finally got a job at American Airlines. But while I was doing all of this work, we had just gone into this downward spiral of these two young kids, 20 years old, who have no clue what they're doing and making a lot of mistakes. We'd made so many mistakes that, you know, in our relationship, that by the time I woke up and I realized we are headed down the wrong road, I put the brakes on, but she didn't. She'd already got sucked up into another lifestyle that caused us to become, wasn't really her fault. And, you know, it's my fault too. You've got these two kids who are now living in just a really bad way, and our daughter was being raised. And I think what happened was, at this point, I wanted to stop what we were doing when it came to the alcohol and the the kind of living that we had, which was basically living for ourselves but living in the same house. Mm-hmm. And when I stopped, she didn't. And by then, I wasn't, you know, like I said, I was a pretty bad person. But I woke up, realized I could lose everything, and it was too late. We had gotten separated, definitely not by my choice. My heart was broken. I wanted to stay married. I didn't want a divorce. And I had all these things I needed to atone for as well. But also, she needed to atone for those as well. And it never got to that point. I was ready, willing, and able. In the meantime, I'm left alone raising my daughter. And I'm so glad because I wanted to raise her. And Courtney, I remember one night I was so brokenhearted one night that I was sleeping, but she was sleeping on me. She was maybe 2 or 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think she knew I was crying. And to have your 2 or 3 year old daughter pat you on the back, you know, that's a vivid memory for me right now. Mm. And my friends kept telling me to come to church. They saw that I was losing weight, that I was depressed. I was somewhat suicidal because I thought about it. It did enter my mind. And one of the reasons why I didn't was because of that little girl who was lying on me, and because I could not stand to put my parents and my brothers and sisters through the anguish. I visualized my funeral. Mm. And then I said, I can't do this. And so I guess my friend Brandon hit me up at the right time at work and said, hey, you need to come to church. And I finally, after saying no, he said, no, if you come to church, I'll buy you breakfast after church. And I said, all right, I'll go. And breakfast was the clincher for me. And so that Sunday, we got ready to go to Hope Chapel Kaneohe, and I'd never been to a Christian church like that before. So he was explaining what the church was like, and he was saying, you know, it's cool. The pastor wears jeans, and he preaches from a Bible. And he doesn't wear a robe? No, he doesn't wear a robe. And is there an organ? No, there's guitars and drums. And I said, sounds like a cult, man, because I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, it's a great church. You'll like it. A lot of young people. And, you know, so I said, all right, I'll go. And I was nervous. I was super nervous. My friend Brandon picked me up. I brought Courtney with me. Mm-hmm. And it was at a cafeteria at the time in Kaneohe, and I could hear the drums playing, and I was really nervous. Long story shorter, I got into the building. I sat down. And for the first time, I felt what God must feel like. I saw the words on the overhead projector back in those days, mm-hmm. on the transparency. And the words to the song that we were singing to God were love songs to God. That's the way I looked at it. I said, I could take my wife's name, who I'm separated from. I could put it in there. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a love song to God. And it blew me away. I'd never seen words like that. The worship ministered to me. I'm sure the word ministered to me. And in this, I was sitting in the third row, second row, and I gave my life to the Lord that day. And that's how I came to know Jesus. It was a tough road still. Still battling for my marriage. And in the end, I had a lot of people telling me, Mike, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. And it's been 2.5 years of separation. It's time to move on. There was bouts in between, about 6 times of trying to make it work. And finally, you know, biblically, God gave me the release according to his word. And that was the toughest decision I have ever had to make. But I knew that it was over. And I just need people to understand who are listening, because I'm not really shooting straight, saying it clear enough for you. But basically, the only out was adultery. And it wasn't, and that was the only out that I had, and I didn't do it. I didn't commit it. It was done to me, mm-hmm. On, you know, my ex's part. Mm. And so that's the hardest part for me to say today, because it's been 20 years, 18 years, and there's another human being on the other side of this story who may have changed as well, who my heart goes out to as well. Mm-hmm. And, but everybody needs to know, and I let my church know that I stayed in till the very end and then beyond. And then I got the biblical release. And not like I was looking for it, because I didn't want it to be a reality, but it was.
You know, Pastor, you, we talked about how part of the dynamic, the compelling of your ministry is that you are a straight shooter. Mm-hmm. Not a shoot from the hip kind of guy, so much as a straight to the heart kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. And I, mm-hmm. hey, you know, isn't that one of the great things we love about our Lord is that He loves us in all the quagmire of mm-hmm. Our life's complexities. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is full of stories mm-hmm. of God's interacting with people who struggle yes. in life. And that's why today, even as you're listening, it doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're facing,
yeah.
mm-hmm. in the light of the fact that God is bigger, His love is greater mm-hmm. and deeper, mm-hmm. and His understanding is far greater than we can ever mm-hmm. fully comprehend. Mm-hmm. And there's hope for you, even as Pastor Mike was sharing the hope that he received. Mm-hmm. When we come back, you're going to get more lifted up, not just by the relatability of Pastor Mike's story, but what happened to him afterwards. Pastor Mike, I want you to share when we come back from our break
okay.
how your life changed. What was it like after being in that cafeteria and you made a decision to put your trust in the Lord Jesus and accept Him into your heart? Mm-hmm. When we come back, you'll hear more from Pastor Mike Kai, Senior Pastor of Hope Chapel, West Oahu. You don't want to miss it. In fact, go ahead and call up somebody, have them tune in, KGU AM 760, or they can listen online, streaming KGUradio.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Leslie Silva and our featured guest today, Pastor Mike Kai. Pastor Mike is the senior pastor of Hope Chapel, West Oahu. You know, we've got communication from people via Facebook, and people email me, and we do have a couple of prayer requests that we are going to be reading in a little while. But, you know, the story that you're sharing, your life story, Pastor Mike, has been so moving.
Very compelling. Pastor Mike, you know, you're a single dad at one point in your life, struggling with yourself and in the care of this beautiful young daughter of yours. And you had an encounter with Jesus in a cafeteria in Kaneohe one night. And it changed your life. It was the start of a whole new life.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about what happened after that night when you walked out of that cafeteria. What happened in your life?
Well, I'd love to say that my circumstances had changed, but they didn't. I was changed, but I was still in the same under the same circumstance, and we just finished that part of it before we went to break. But I began to hold on to the Lord like never before, and I'm very thankful for my mom. She doesn't get enough props, and my dad, and my mom and my dad ended up moving to Honolulu. Part of it was a business for business. My dad's business took him to Honolulu, and then they ended up living with me. I ended up living with them. Mm-hmm. So the interesting dynamic of a son having a child in their house was not the easiest situation for all of us. We were trying to define roles, and at the same time, my parents were trying to give me some freedom to do what I needed to do socially as well as spiritually. So they ended up helping me out with Courtney a lot. And for that, I'm so grateful for my mom and my dad. For a while, it was as if my mom had become Courtney's mother. Mm-hmm. And they are very close to this day. So I love my mom. So blessed. Ken's a shout out for dad. Got a shout out for mom. So mom, if you're listening, I love you too. But the other thing was I began to just follow Jesus more like nothing before, ever. And slowly through faithfulness and fruitfulness, I began to get involved in ministry or, you know, just set up, break down as an usher, helping out as an under-shepherd in a mini church, a small group. And I just ended up growing a lot under the ministry of Ralph Moore at Hope Chapel Kaneohe. And I ended up going to this one guy's mini church and who had pretty much had been my mentor for a while. And then I finally gone to a Christmas party for singles. You got to understand, I didn't feel single. I still felt like I wasn't single when after everything was done. I felt like an old man at the age of 23. You know, my friends are talking about rims and stereo systems and girls, and I'm talking about formula, milk, babysitter fees, you know, preschool. And so it was hard sometimes to relate to them. I became an old man pretty quick, kind of grumpy. I'd say I was a little grumpy. But I finally gave in to one of my friends. He said, let's go to the Christmas party. And I went to the singles Christmas party, very, very nervous. And I showed up at the Dole Cannery when they first had opened and the ballrooms. And I'd seen this girl before, but didn't feel like I was, you know, ready to see anyone. I wanted to, but I don't think I was ready. See, here's the thing I did also. When it was finished and I moved on, I prayed. I asked the Lord, because I heard Dr. Jack Hayford say, when you pray, ask the Lord specifically. And so I took that to heart, and I prayed, and I asked God if I could ever get married again, that if I did, that this was my list. I said, Lord, that she has to be 5'7" or taller for some reason. I just want kids who can play some sports. You know what I'm saying? 5'7" or taller. She had to be Asian. I didn't want to be specific with the particular nationality. I don't know. I just want Asian was fine with me. And she had to love Jesus more than she loved me. That was the biggest one. She had to love Jesus more than she loved me. And I saw this girl a couple of times at church. We never said anything to each other. But I know she was checking me out. No, just but I saw her. And you know what? That day I met her. She was working the table at that Christmas party. And her name was Lisa Lum. And I was like, whoa. And so I was like, who's this girl? And so we ended up just saying hi. And, you know, she was working for the church at the time, right, part-time. So she had the list. She doesn't like me to tell this story, but she had the list of the phone numbers. She called me the next day. she called me the next day, and I don't let her forget it, that she called me first. And I was very, very flattered, and she invited me to come out And to how's this? This is how desperate I was for a date, and this is how much she wanted to go out with me. She said, "My best friend's getting married next week, and I was wondering if you wanted to come with me to the wedding." I didn't know she was on the wedding party. So I ended up sitting amongst her friends who were all checking me out, kind of seeing if I was the right guy.
Right.
Heard rumors about my story or whatever, didn't know anything. And the first guy that was really began to look at me was Ralph Moore. And wouldn't you know, I drive up into the church with my Datsun B210 four-speed, and the clutch breaks at the church. And everybody knows I can't move the car. And I'm thinking, what a loser. Everybody's looking at me like, who is this guy? And I somehow was able to get the car towed and ended up making it to the reception. And through the weeks and the months, people slowly began to approve. And finally, Ralph knew that, hey, if he's going to take one of my church girls out, I want to make sure I get to know him. And he took a particular favor toward Lisa, because Lisa just had something about her. She was anointed. You know, she was blessed. Mm-hmm. She had God's favor mm-hmm. on her life. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to make sure that she connected with the right guy. And he began to check me, mentor me. I say we had breakfast at the McDonald's in Kaneohe every Wednesday. I mean, to have Ralph Moore meet with you, and you're really mm-hmm. a nobody, you're not mm-hmm. on staff, mm-hmm. not a leader. Mm-hmm. He did that. Mm-hmm. And through the weeks, mentored me, discipled me, and gave his thumbs up of approval. And then within a year, Lisa and I got married, because I didn't want to shop anymore. I was mm-hmm. you know, I didn't want to play the field or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was I knew it. And I proposed, and within 3 months we got married.
Now, from that time, you guys got married.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a real life revolution that's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go into ministry?
I went into ministry, I guess, because they saw the faithfulness of me showing up. I think God showed Pastor Ralph something, that there was something about me. I don't know what it was, but he took an interest in me.
Mm-hmm.
I was faithful. I began, faithfulness and fruitfulness. I produced some fruit. And I might have, you know, if you're faithful in the little things, God will put you in charge of many.
Mm-hmm.
So I was faithful with the little things that they'd given me, whether it was showing up on time, whether it was setting up, was recruiting other people to help me, getting other people involved in ministry. I was faithful with that little. God had started to increase and give me a little bit more and a little bit more. And it happened the same way in the ministry. And finally, Rob McWilliams, who became one of my mentors, who's still an associate pastor there to this day,
mm-hmm.
and Ralph, they would say stuff to me like, hey, we got to get you on this team. We got to get you on the staff. And I was like, nah, yeah, right. You know, I don't know if I want to do this. And it just started from there. And finally, they made me an offer. And it wasn't an offer that I said, oh, I'm going to make it rich. You know, all my needs will be provided. It was, no, come join our team. We're going to pay you this much, and we'd love for you to join us. I was working at American Airlines strictly at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was working at American part-time, at Hope Chapel part-time, and it just started from there. The high school pastor had to resign. Ralph took me for a walk right between the 8 a.m. service and the 10 a.m. service, and he said, I need you to be the high school pastor. And I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I didn't like kids, too. I couldn't stand high school kids. Seriously, back then, I couldn't stand them. And some of the best ministry times of my life was the 5 years of being a high school pastor. When God called me to plant a church, or to leave my church and go take over this church in Waikele, I went kicking and screaming, but I did obediently. I had 3 weeks to make a decision. And we made the decision, and we went. And it was the hardest thing, was to leave the youth ministry, because I ended up loving ministering to high school students.
Mm.
Not junior high. That's worse. But high school, I love it. I'm just kidding. But high school students.
You know, faithfulness and obedience to God. And then learning to, through the process of time, learning to love and really loving what God has transitioned you to do. And I can see that it was a preparation for what you're doing now. When we come back, Pastor Mike is going to share with us about his ministry now at a very dynamic church, Hope Chapel, Central Oahu.
West
Oahu.
That's okay, bro.
West Oahu.
Too many words, yeah.
Hope Chapel, West Oahu, and a conference. You caught me real quick on that, Pastor Mike. And a conference that's going to be coming up very soon. You need to hear about it. So stay with us. We're going to be right back with more from Pastor Mike Kai.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinen and Arenaga Financial Group, Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Leslie Silva and our featured guest today, Pastor Mike Kai. Pastor Mike is a senior pastor of Hope Chapel, West Oahu. They meet at the Waikele Shopping Center. Beautiful facility there at the Waikele Shopping Center. You can find out more about his ministry. Go to equipandinspire.com. Equip and Inspire. That's all one word, and is spelled out. Equipandinspire.com. You know, we get some prayer requests, and I always encourage you, if you have a prayer request, go ahead and send it, danny@thegoodlifehawaii.org. But we've got a couple. Let's see, why don't you read them, and let's pray.
A couple from our dear listeners. First one's from Julie. And Julie writes, please join me in prayer as I've been praying for prosperity through all my business ventures. I would like to pray for guidance so that I recognize the doors that God opens for me and wisdom to choose the appropriate path. I pray that I can become a better provider for my mother, brother, and my unwed daughter, who is expecting a child in October. Julie writes, her boyfriend left her, and we are now preparing as a family to face the long road ahead. I know God will provide, but I have much anxieties for my daughter, who is heartbroken and so inexperienced. Thank you for all you do. And we also have another one from Roxanne, who writes, please pray with my family for my mother. She had surgery last night for a blockage in her intestines. After surgery, her bowels backed up into her stomach cavity, and she needed to go back into surgery. She is heavily sedated on major antibiotics and meds for her very low blood pressure. And she may have had a mild heart attack, and she is also on a ventilator. My mother is a very strong and stubborn woman who has three grandchildren that want to be around in the years to come. My goal, along with my older daughter, is to have my mom, once she's recovered from this ordeal, to come to Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. So we can lift up these two dear listeners in prayer. Mm-hmm. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the faith of these women, Lord, as they trust you, Father, to come before you and to lay their hearts out to you. We pray, Lord, for healing, Lord, physical healing, Father, spiritual and emotional healing to all those involved, Father. We know you are the great physician, Lord, and we just thank you for your touch that's going to them even now, Lord, as we pray. We pray, Lord, for guidance, Father, your voice, Father, that will lead these women. They'll hear your voice to say which way to go, Lord. In times of confusion, you will bring clarity, Lord, and wisdom, Father, to make the right choices that face them, Lord. We pray for provision, Lord, provision in every way, Lord, to meet their needs, Lord, financially, emotionally, spiritually, Lord. We know you are the great provider, Lord, and we can trust you. You know each of our needs, Lord. We thank you also, Lord, for salvation, Father. For salvation for those, Lord, that need to know you, Lord, as Lord and Savior and as a loving Father. We pray, Lord, that hearts will be softened and open for you, Lord, as you do your work in the lives of these loving people and their families, Lord. And, Lord, we pray for peace. Peace that passes all understanding, Lord, as faith and trust are put into you. We pray for that now, Lord. We uplift these people and their families, Lord, and we ask your covering and your touch, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Leslie. Pastor Mike, you pastoring a church that's experienced tremendous growth over the last several years. Tell us about God's amazing work in the lives of people through Hope Chapel West Oahu.
All I can say is that it's awesome. To see, it's, I can't believe I have the life I have, you know, to be able to watch God do all this work, and we get to partner with him, and it's an honor. It is really an honor to be able to be the pastor of the church that we have, and sometimes Lisa and I will pinch one another and go, can you believe what we have? Can you believe what we get to do? And you know, when I quit my job at American Airlines, here's an ironic thing. You worry about what you give up to follow Jesus. And you, after you follow Jesus, you gave it up, you worry about living the life that he wants you to live because you think you're going to have a boring life. I was afraid of giving up my job at American Airlines, which I liked, but I was more afraid of losing my flight benefits because my parents had by then moved to Portland, Oregon. And one of the best ways I could see them was because of my job at American. And I was afraid that I'd never get off this rock, call it Oahu again. When they asked me to go full-time. The ministry, my youth ministry had grown so big to the point where they needed me full-time, and I couldn't leave, and I couldn't do both. And I finally gave up my job in America, and I said, that's it, no more flying. And I had to resign myself to the fact that it would be real difficult to see my mom and dad, maybe once every 2 years if I saved my money. I gave that up, and I'm telling you, Danny, you know, to this day, I travel too much sometimes. To places that I never thought I would ever go.
World traveler.
I mean, at least, well, not Europe, but you know, just just Asia and Australia, and so Lisa and I consider it an honor and a privilege to help people equip other people, because now, you know, it's to the point where we don't have our hand in everyone's life anymore. It's more on the staff and leadership level that we love and equip them, and we try and remain as transparent and as open and as available as possible. But all I can say is the people at Hope Chapel West Wild are beautiful. They're awesome. They're giving. They share us with other churches. You know what I mean? They know that we're called to something that is beyond Oahu.
You know, you have mentioned equipping, and certainly you inspire people, and you have a unique part of your ministry in the form of a conference. Talk to us about that.
Well, about 4 years ago, the Lord put on my heart that, you know what? This is what I did. I went to the Hillsong Conference, okay? Now, my first time going to the Hillsong Conference in Australia, I'd done a lot of work in Australia already by planting two or three churches. And so I finally went down to the Hillsong Conference. And when I went there, I was blown away. I mean, to see 22,000 people in one arena. Mm. And people think Hillsong is just worship. No way. It's more than that. It's the local church. It's leadership. And when I left that place, I didn't leave like, oh my gosh, this is too big. We could never do this. I actually walked in thinking to myself, we could do this one day. Mm. We might be able. But if we don't, it's okay. But God put on my heart to do something that was more leadership focused and local church focused. Mm-hmm. And so we started it 4 years ago. It was originally the H&L Conference, mm-hmm. too close to the name of him and my good friend Dan Chun. So we changed it and we moved seasons. We mm. moved from the winter, spring, and we moved it to the fall. Mm. And so here we are. October 7 to 9 is the E&I, or the Equip and Inspire Conference. And this year we have Joe Onasife. We've got Guy Capelliola from Hope Chapel, Kaneohe. We've got Elwin Ahu from New Hope. We've got Norman Nakanishi, one of my favorites, from Grace Bible Church. And then myself. And then we've got this guy named Miles McPherson, who comes out of San Diego, who pastors The Rock Church, one of America's most phenomenal and fastest growing churches, Miles McPherson. He used to be a defensive back with the San Diego Chargers back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Wow.
So he's coming.
Equip and Inspire Conference. You can find out the information, more information, how to register, equipandinspire.com. That's equip and inspire, that's one word, .com. You know, it's always a blessing to be with you, especially to have our guest today. You know, in the next few weeks, you're going to hear more stories. A few weeks and days, more stories like Pastor Mike Kai. Invite someone to listen in, be inspired. They can also go to our website, thegoodlifehawaii.org. Use that to reach someone, bring them closer to the Lord. Here's a scripture for today, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been blessed with Pastor Mike Kai today. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Leslie Silva, and our technical producer, Leah Rodriguez. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose.
Thank you today for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave